Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
As we look into December nights and our message this evening, we're going to be looking primarily at Luke chapter 2. If you want to go ahead and turn there on your devices, we're going to wind up in Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Matt already mentioned it, but we have a ton of these cards out front. And if you're going to be here for the rest of December, we still have two more opportunities for December nights. And if you look across this room, we are packed from front to back. I think a lot of that is because we are so delighted to have some of our students still here in town, the unlucky ones who still have a few exams left, but we're so grateful that you're here worshiping with us tonight. But for those of you who will be here for the next two December nights that we'll be having, there's nothing better than a personal invitation to somebody. And this is a great crutch. I went to the Blacksburg Rec Center recently, just using the exercise room there. I've got this thing going on with my calf that I can't really run right now. Too much information. But I gave a couple of these cards to the guys who work the front desk this week. And whether or not they're here tonight, I haven't seen them. I hope you are here. But these cards are a remarkable reminder when you keep them in your car that it's important to constantly be inviting somebody into the presence of Jesus. So we invite you to pick up some of these on your way out tonight. During the prayer time earlier, I read John chapter 3, verse 16 through 17, or I quoted from it, and I want to read it to you just for context. I think this is probably the greatest Christmas verse of all time because it captures the purposes and the plans of God from all eternity in sending his son Jesus. And this is what it says: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." There's no greater couple of verses that encapsulate the Christmas theme, the gospel, than these verses. It reminds us of God's purposes and his plans. It's the ultimate Christmas verse. And it reminds us that while at Christmas we tend to think of innocence, of the divine baby lying in a manger, of the angels' announcements to the shepherds, which we see in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. The angels told the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." See, that's what we typically think of when we think of Christmas, is we think of innocence and baby and shepherd and manger. Ricky Bobby couldn't get the image of Jesus out of his head. And he consistently prayed, "Dear 8-pound, 6-ounce, newborn baby Jesus in your golden fleece diapers with your curled up, fat, balled up little fist pawing at the air." Yeah. Over Thanksgiving, I got to hold a baby. Got to hold our grandbaby. It was a shepherd, because his name is Shepherd. And even as I marveled at Shep's features and his balled up little fist pawing at the air, I was reminded right now that Shepherd can't do a lot. And I was also reminded that being a grandparent is incredible. it's all of the joy and none of the responsibility. He was with us 10 days, and I've been bragging. I don't think I changed a single diaper all of those 10 days. It was remarkable. Shepherd can't do a lot other than just eat and cry occasionally, poop, and just make us beam with joy and thanksgiving. But when babies are around, we tend to focus on their cuteness and their innocence. And at Christmas time, when we think of baby Jesus lying in a manger, sometimes we may miss the mission of the Messiah. He was a manger Messiah, but he did have a mission. And if we're not careful, we may disassociate Jesus' mission with our ultimate lives and how we live them and how we communicate and relate with one another. See, Jesus was also sovereign. He was ultimate power. He was creator. He was sustainer. He's redeemer. And this is what Christmas is about. It's Christmas faith. Because when you hold a baby, not yet knowing what he or she will become, even in those moments over Thanksgiving when we're holding Shepherd and praying over him and thinking about what will he grow up to be one day? Joseph and Mary knew, according to angelic announcement, according to the prophecies of Scripture, what their baby would grow up to be. But I wonder if sometimes they got lost in the sweetness and the cuteness, forgetting the mission and the bigness of the Jesus whom they held. See, even when Jesus could be held, those who did so had to hold him in faith that one day this baby that they were holding would fulfill all their hopes and their needs. This baby that they were holding would forgive all of their sins. The angel announced to Joseph, his dad, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, Mary will bear you a son, and you shall name his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Imagine holding a baby, knowing that this child would grow up to be someone that would save you from your sins. That first Christmas was the hour that split history in half. And it's remarkable because even as we look in the rest of Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 25, we see two examples of people getting to hold Jesus. And we can learn some lessons from their holding of Jesus. So if you read with me, beginning in verse 22 of Luke chapter 2, we find this, "And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male will be dedicated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." Now in verse 25 it says, "There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking forward to Israel's consolation, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. And so, guided by the Spirit, he entered the temple. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him up in his arms, praised God, and said, 'Now, Master, you can dismiss your servant in peace as you promised, for my eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared it in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel.'" Now his father and his mother were amazed at what was being said about him, and then Simeon blessed them and told his mother Mary, "Indeed, this child is destined to cause the fall and rise of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be opposed, and a sword will pierce your own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." And then we see the second instance of someone encountering Jesus. There was also a prophetess, Anna, a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was well along in years, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and was a widow for 84 years. She did not leave the temple, serving God night and day with fasting and prayers. At that very moment, she came up and began to thank God and to speak about him to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. So these two older adults who got to see and witness and hold Jesus, there's some things that we can learn from them about how we hold Jesus near to us. One of the things that Simeon identified was salvation. When we hold Jesus near and dear to us, we can't help but think about our own salvation. And we must think about the salvation of others. Simeon was well aware that the mission of the Messiah meant not just salvation for the Jews, but also salvation for the Gentiles, those who were not Jews. Simeon mentioned that you have prepared this, speaking of the Father's eternal plans from eternity past. It wasn't plan B, it was always the plan. As he held baby Jesus in his arms, looking at the innocence of the child, he's declaring to the Father, "You have prepared this, the sending of your Son, that whoever believes in him might have eternal life. And you've done it in the presence of all peoples," which echoes John 3:16 and 17 about it being for all people. Anyone who professes faith in the name of Jesus Christ can be saved. Jesus was sent for all people. Simeon mentioned revelation, and revelation essentially means that God has to reveal truth to us. We can't discover this truth. God revealed it. We never would have dreamed the mission of Jesus up on our own. And so Simeon mentions that this has been revealed, revelation. He mentions the word glory, and he mentions appointed. Jesus has been appointed for the salvation of many. I think as you glance back at what Simeon finally said about this child will expose our thoughts and our hearts, it's jarring to realize that the infant that you hold is able to discern the thoughts and intents of your heart. And yet Jesus still loves us with a love that's indescribable. And then when Anna spoke and prophesied over this infant, it winds up saying that she gave thanks to God. And she spoke of him to everyone that was within vicinity about the redemption of Israel. We can't hold Jesus near to us, and we can't hold Jesus dear to us if we don't speak of him to everyone within our vicinity, of the meaning of the Messiah and the meaning of the manger. You see, many people never get past the beautiful but short-sighted view of baby Jesus. They embrace the manger and all the trappings and innocence of Christmas and adoration and wonder. And in some ways, even as they progress through life, they still hold on to that image of Jesus. A Jesus that can be held. A Jesus that is manageable. A Jesus that in some ways we control. We would never admit that that is our image of Jesus, but We show it sometimes by our decisions and our attitudes and our lifestyles, don't we? And yet, this Jesus knows our thoughts, and he knows our hearts, and he came to save us, and he loves us with an indescribable love. Sometimes we get so enamored with holding Jesus that we've not yet discovered the bigger wonder and beauty of Christmas, that it's not about us holding Jesus, but Jesus came so that he might hold us. Jesus came to invite us into a love relationship with him that's so strong and so fierce and so forever. He holds us with such tenacity and firmness and perfection that he will never turn loose of those who have given their lives and their hearts to him. In John chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus said to his followers, "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." Sometimes when we think we're holding Jesus, Christmas reminds us that Jesus holds us. In 2 Corinthians 6, verses 16 through 18, beautiful passage that is actually quoting the Old Testament, but God says, "I will dwell and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Don't touch any unclean thing, and I will welcome you." And here's the beauty: "I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." So this Christmas, we're reminded of those who held Jesus, seeing something by faith that was much bigger than a baby. They saw God's love. They saw God's promise, God's forgiveness, God's offer of salvation for all peoples. When you really stop and think about it, it's breathtaking that God loved us so much. He created Christmas. He sent his son. Oh, the wonder of God. Because Jesus, in defenseless innocence, came so that we in our senseless, indefensible sinfulness might be saved. John 3, 16 through 17, again, as I close, is the ultimate Christmas verse. And we read it again with fresh understanding of faith in Christ that came. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever, that you tonight, if you believe in him, you will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." On this December night, will you worship this babe that came to be your Lord? Let me pray for us.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.